Good evening and welcome to Midnight Convos Podcast with your girl Tiffany Cole. Unfortunately, my co-host is not here tonight, King Chuck. Usually he will be in the building, but not tonight. He is MIA, all good. Tonight we have someone filling in. It's a special host. My hubby Ray Bugs is in the building.
Yeah, baby.
Alright, so this is Convo number 27. Convo 27. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook, your girl Tiffany Cole. Holla at me and follow me on Twitter, our Queen Tiffany. Follow my co-host, the real King Chuck, on Twitter. And follow the podcast at underscore Midnight Convos. Also, I just made a Instagram page, so make sure you check out the podcast, Midnight Convos Podcast, on Instagram. Convo number 26 is in the bag. We did it with Tekla Chin. If you haven't heard his music, make sure you go to SoundCloud and check out his songs. We played about 3 songs last week, all hot joints. So make sure you go out and support this dude, Tekla Chin, and he's representing Jersey by the way of Brooklyn. All right, so Bay, Hub, what's good? How you feeling?
Feeling blessed right now. I'm sitting across from my lovely wife. This is different for us. Definitely missing King Chuck right now. I sit on in on some of the convos. If you haven't heard some of my previous convos, maybe 18 to the 20s, I was in some of them, giving my little two-cent opinion. But love sitting across from my wife right now, seeing her pretty face.
Oh, you're making me blush. By the way, it is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Just want to take a second and acknowledge you guys because it is a time of the year where it's all about us, right? So happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. So I want to add a couple of things to the show. We're finding different ways to incorporate different features into the show. So we're going to be doing a couple of things that's new to the podcast. We're going to do the Bay of the Week, and we're also going to do the Song of the Week. So I want to start out with the Bay of the Week. Baby.
Yes.
You have a Bay of the Week?
Man, you're my bae every week. But there is, or there are a couple chicks I keep my eye on. But I will choose this one. I always be checking for Sinai Lathan. She has that new show out that we watch. So I've seen her through the years. And man, she is getting sexier and sexier as she gets older.
So, Bay of the Week for hubby would be Sanaa Lathan. Can't be mad with that pick. She's a classic chick. My Bay of the Week, it could be so easy.
Hold on. You get one, too?
I get one, too. Of course.
I thought you
were
me.
No. Fuck no. That wouldn't be fair. And since it's Mother's Day, I should have 2 Bays of the Week. It's easy to do Bay of the Week. I can pick about 15, 20 men. But tonight I have one that I'm picking because I just found out this information. And this person is 64 years old. And as they always say, good black don't crack. And my Bay of the Week is not someone that you would typically think of me picking. It is a female. I am picking Lynn Whitfield. I don't know if you've seen her recently, baby, but she's 64 years old. She just turned 64 last week on the 6th. And she looks good as hell. She is what I strive to be when I'm of that age. When I'm a seasoned woman in my 60s, hopefully I can still have it, you know, tight and right.
I gotta see a picture.
I'll definitely show you a picture, but at 64 years old, she's still looking good. So she's my Bay of the Week. And if you don't know who Lynn Whitfield is, I always relate her back to her role in A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. When she played the crazy, deranged woman that Martin Lawrence was dealing with.
Oh, that's her?
That's her.
Oh, man.
She's my Bay of the Week. And she was in...
her skin looked tight back then.
Yeah, she looks good. Madea's Family Reunion, Head of State, Stepmom, Eve's Bayou. She's been in a lot of movies. Her film game is long. So she's my Bay of the Week. All right, so our first convo tonight had me a little vexed when I saw the story. I actually saw the video, and I'm going to try to add it to the Instagram page so you guys can get a visual of what I'm talking about. The video shows a young boy who happens to be about 11, 12 years old. He was in front of a Target store and he was selling candy to customers that were either going into the store to buy something or leaving the store to buy something.
This is common.
Common practice, right? Nothing different, nothing new, nothing out of the ordinary. But he was stopped and he was harassed by an older white woman. And this woman was pretty much saying to him, you shouldn't be here. This is illegal. What you're doing? She kept asking him for his permit. Where's your permits? Where's your paperwork to be out here? This is illegal. You're trespassing. Do you have consent? Do you have authorization to do so? Did Target give you permission to be out here? Where's your paper? Where are you selling these candy for? What organization? What is this for? So she was going in. She was just harassing him. And he really didn't have any answers. He just wanted to say, you know, I'm just selling candy. It pissed me off because with all the things that he can be doing, this boy is choosing to do something productive and positive. He's not hurting anybody.
Oh, yeah. I ride with that.
So, you know, I'm going to add more to the story, but just based on a little bit of details that I've told you, what's your thoughts?
Let me tell you this. There's too many times in, like, every minority's life, black or brown, where we have that one situation. You look at a motherfucker and you ask yourself, and you want to ask him, motherfucker, do you think you own me? What gives you the right to talk to me this way? What gives you the right to interrogate me? There's certain people who have an authoritative complex, if I said that right. You know, you shouldn't have any dialogue with me as it is unless you work there, you're a police officer, or you work for the township, the municipality. Why are you coming at me? You're not my parents. You're not my relatives. You gonna give me some money or not? Keep it pushing. I'm for real. So a lot of times where we live in New Jersey, you see kids outside selling candy for a football team, or even in the summertime, they're just selling cold waters because they don't want to play the streets. They're trying to do something honest. I support that. What I will not support is a young man answering somebody who has some type of complex who feels like they can just walk up to them. You tell that person to kick rocks. You tell that person, why don't you give me some money, ma'am, and I'll tell you why I'm here. I'll show you my permit, but give me $10. Give me $5 first and see how far that goes. Or if you really want to stretch it out, you say, bitch, do you owe me? And now I just throw them for a loop. Bitch, do you owe me? What do you mean? Then why are you talking to me? Why are you talking? If it's no, why are you talking to me? Now, here's my question. Has there ever been a situation in your life where you think somebody came out to you out of character, interrogating you for no reason, and they're no type of authoritative figure in our society?
Absolutely. I think that goes on every day, especially when it comes to race relations. And just sticking to the story, there was another male in the situation that played a pivotal role. He saw what was going on. I think he happened to be Hispanic. I'm not sure. But he saw what the woman was doing, that she was harassing this young boy. And he ended up intervening. And what he did was so fucking cool. He went into the store. First of all, he spoke to the boy. He was like, well, how much candy you got? How much is this all worth? And the lady was like, well, mind your business. He shouldn't be out here. She was still running her mouth, talking the same old shit that she previously was talking. So the boy went in his box, tallied up all his candy, and told the guy how much candy that he has left and how much it's worth. The guy goes outside. The guy goes inside of Target, goes into the Mac machine, comes out with the value amount that the boy mentioned. He gives him the money. The boy gives him all the candy. And the guy is like, yo, you're wrong. This boy is doing nothing wrong. You know, you need to mind your business. You know, get a life, whatever the case may be. And the guy ends up giving out the candy. So this is the point that I'm trying to make, is if we try to help these kids, and just that alone, you know, standing up to a bully, because obviously she's a bully if she's going in on a 12-year-old. Now, if this 12-year-old was in the streets with a gun to your face, you know, everybody would be up in arms. But now that he's doing something productive and positive, it's a problem. So what do you want it to be? You worrying about permits, or you worry about this young boy struggling to get money, struggling to have something to eat on his plates in his household, and he's running up in your house at 2 o'clock in the morning? What do you want?
They want to keep him down. There's people out here, the whole purpose in life, and I call them the undercover racists. They're out here trying to keep you down.
I don't think that was undercover.
Yeah, but this is my point. They'll be the ones screaming, why does he try and get a job? Why doesn't he do something more productive? Why is he selling drugs? They can do better for themselves. And then the moment they do better for themselves, they're the same person trying to keep them down, like, where's your permits? Da-da-da. You know, and it boggles me. It boggles me. And then they say, I have black friends.
That's the number one comeback. I have black friends. You can still be a racist and have black friends. Because what are these friends? What are they? What role do they play in your life? Like, are they your everyday friends, or is it someone you know? Because we know a lot of people, but are they friends is the question. So it's interesting. If you see the video, I'm going to post it to my Instagram page. I just want you to have a visual of this because, you know, we see black boys, young black men, young brown men getting into trouble, you know, because they don't have resources in their community. They don't have parents that's home with them, or they don't have a two-parent household, or whatever the case may be. But you see this boy in the streets, but doing something positive, not harming anybody and still being harassed. So it's like a catch-22. You damn if you do. Damn if you don't. So I'm gonna post the video on Instagram. Share your thoughts on this scenario and let me know. Is she in the right for checking a young boy because he doesn't have permits? Or does she need to get a fucking life? One or the other. Let me know. Or maybe it's something in between. Whatever you feel, let me know. I'm gonna post the video on Instagram tomorrow.
People are fucking miserable. There are some miserable people out here too. Let's count that too.
Very much true. This is Convo number 27. Convo number 27. If you missed any of our previous convos, make sure you go to SoundCloud and iTunes and leave a 5-star review. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, our Queen Tiffany, and follow me on Facebook, Tiffany Nicole, and follow my co-host, The Real King Chuck. Also follow the podcast _MidnightConvos and follow our new Instagram page, Midnight Convos Podcast. All right. I want to talk about Funk Master Flex. I had mixed reviews about everything that was going on with this Flex situation. But when I saw the video of Flex, it kind of put things in perspective for me. So the initial video that came out a week or so ago was Flex kind of talking about Pac and not in the most positive manner, and basically saying that he cheddar bobbed himself. And if people don't know that reference, it's from the movie 8 Mile, in which Eminem's boyfriend, I don't know who he was to him, but he shot himself. Basically, he cheddar bobbed himself.
Cheddar bob.
So Cheddar Bob in the movie shot himself. And pretty much he was referencing that because Pop shot himself. The night that he got shot up, he initially shot himself. So people were saying that, you know, you shouldn't speak ill of the dead. People had problems with him saying this 20 years later. And, you know, the video kind of stopped with that. Just pretty much him saying that he cheddar bobbed himself. Then there was a second video. The second video in which he pretty much went down a whole timeline. And he was basically saying, you know, how Pac had issues with people. And he knew who the people that he was beefing with. That's why he was kind of running the streets with some heat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he went to go see Biggie that night. And the people that he had beef with kind of ran up on him. And they just wanted to talk to him initially.
Right.
But Pac got a little scared, got a little jittery, trigger finger. Boom, he shoots himself. And, you know, when you pull out your heater, you got to be prepared for whatever comes your way. So if you shooting, somebody might shoot back. So that's how he got popped 5 times, right? So he talks about that, and he's just telling the story. He's just painting the story for you. He's just bringing things to life. So what had Flax tripping was the fact that Pac knew who he had beef with. Pac knew what went down that night. And even still, Pac took this lie to the grave that Biggie was the one that set him up or had something to do with it. And because he ran with this lie, he never corrected, he never told the truth, which he knew what was the truth. It, in essence, made someone lose their life, which was Biggie. So, pretty much he was saying, because of this lie that Pac created, started, it in turn made Notorious B.I.G. Christopher Wallace lose his life. And it was something that, you know, could have been corrected. And he doesn't understand why people idolize this guy when he's the reason why Biggie died.
Well, let me just start here. He doesn't understand why. Well, I understand why, you know. He is a marquee in hip-hop. His name Tupac Shakur resonates. That whole last name Shakur resonates within the black community, period. And if you know a little bit of history, you know who allegedly his aunt is, and her last name was Shakur. And the whole
black... Shada Shakur, Black Panther.
Exactly. And, you know, the movement. But I get where Flex is coming from as far as the chain of events that happened. And it's always good to verify the information. So on that Instagram stream that they had going, you had Ed Lover and Mr. C chime in live. And truth be told, I'm no saint. And my brothers are no saints either. But I do know this. When you play in the streets and the hammer go off, people start shooting. It's just no... I know this firsthand. You know, I've seen it. Nightclubs, on the block, the hammer goes off and people... So he has a valid point. And you had Ed Lover chiming in saying that dude shot himself. And that was the cause of him getting shot. Because he unloaded a round from a gun that happened to hit himself. And the other thing that bothered me is C's came down and saw these dudes laying down on the ground, Stretch and Tupac, and then went back upstairs and told Biggie and the whole crew, and they all came downstairs. If I'm trying to get somebody set up, I'm playing stupid and not coming down there to assist them. Yeah, I think the whole situation's ill. But Tupac fans ride. They ride or die. So, the truth hurts. And you're hearing a lot of negative backlash. I think it's mostly from Tupac fans. 20 years later, all this coming out, I don't know why. I don't know who put that battery in Flex's back to all of a sudden this year, around this time, start talking about it right before the Tupac movie's about to come out. Like, it's a few things that's making me scratch my head. What about you, Beth?
But you know what? Even if you go back to see the videos, you will hear him say, like, it's coming out 20 years later, the details. But it's not like this is the first time he spoke on this. He was speaking on this when the situation was going on. So it wasn't like he was a quiet soldier in the midst of it, because you got to think about it. He was in his prime. Like, he was big time when this was going on. So he was in the midst of it, you know. And Pac had kind of had beef with Hot 97 because they felt like, you know, they weren't riding for Pac. So I understand why people want to believe what they want to believe. But I kind of understand where Flex is coming from. You know, whether it came out 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or now, he still has a valid point. You know, There was bloodshed because of a lie. There was bloodshed because of a lie in a whole coast. Two different coasts. East, West Coast was in beef. Was beefing because this motherfucker lied.
Oh, true.
So, you know, and that's the point that he's trying to make. So when people say, oh, he's speaking ill of the dead, you know, you shouldn't, you know, talk no crazy shit like this because he's dead. He can't defend himself. I understand that, but it's not like he's saying Pac is this or that. He's saying actual fact shit. He's not saying Pac was this, Pac was that, Pac, I don't fuck with Pac this. No, he's telling you the story of what happened, which pretty much people backed up. And one of the guys, Ed Lover, who was Pac's friend, right, validated what Pac, what Flex said. So where did he, you know, shit on his grave?
Well, I don't even know if it's about shitting on the grave, but I think people are using that. You can't argue with facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people are using any ammunition they can because they feelings hurt. And it happens all the time. Oh, you shitting on the grave. You saying you they're embellishing what Flex said. Listen, you're dealing with real gangsters back then, and only so much can be said. You know, a lot of these guys who were involved in that, they either locked up or they dead. You know, so people can speak a little bit more freely now. But even when all that was going on behind the scenes in hip-hop, a lot of people knew what was what. Something you pointed out on a minute ago, you said you have two coasts beefing, but we're talking more than hip-hop, right? We're talking about you had a movement. Like, we could have positive movements. We had negative movement going on too, right? So if I'm in a club in Miami and chilling, hanging out, you know what I'm saying? I link up with some New York cats. I'm from Jersey, but just in case these Cali niggas over here want to start wilding this shit, you already know what it is, right? We got to pop off. You had people shooting at other people, black people killing other black people because they're from a different coast. And all of a sudden, the hit 'em up plays up in the club and shit. People getting rowdy. Now you gonna start smoking niggas?
Yeah, I mean, it was a real tough time, and you had to pick a side. So if you was an East Coast motherfucker, this is what you was riding with. If you was a West Coast person, this is who you was riding with. And pretty much what he was saying, that a lot of this stuff could have been avoided if Pac would have kept it 100. And because he didn't, is a lot of different events that occurred after the fact. So, you know, a lot of people hate Flex. Just because,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and he can be an asshole, and he's emotional when he gets real in his feelings. I get that, but on this situation, I'm not mad at him. I can't say he did anything wrong, right? There's a Pac movie that's coming out, right? And maybe, you know, the timing could be wrong or off. I don't know, but there's a movie that's gonna come out, and I'm pretty sure this movie is not going to push that perspective that Flex is talking about, because they want the narrative to be a different narrative. They want it to be Pac, to be seen in a different light. They don't want it to be that this guy that people look up to, they worship, and, you know, that he's a lying, you know, little bitch that shot himself, you know?
Well, why didn't Biggie kill the situation? Like, if Biggie and Diddy and all of them knew what was what, and I'm not saying say names or who was what, but, like, you know, he could have said through all the years of the beefing, yo, that's not what's real. Ask Pac what really happened. Or just give out little subliminal clues to something else. In a sense, did Bad Boy start initially not fuck with it, but at one point say, you know what, we're gonna ride this wave East Coast to make money and make some make it lucrative for ourselves in our situation?
I don't know, because I don't think that anybody can take what is meant for you. I think it was Biggie's time, and he was gonna shine regardless of this. Maybe other people know him because of the Tupac beef, but he had a talent that was undeniable. He was gonna have his time regardless. But when you just think about it, whether you fuck with Tupac, you fuck with Biggie, or you fuck with both of them, and just really look at the facts and everything that he said, and if there's everything is true what Flex said, and some people have, you know, put the stamp of approval on it, it's fucked up. Because it's like, we lost Pac, and now we lost Biggie right after him, and could it have been avoided, right? It's tough. So, you know, I want to know what people think about this. Is it wrong for Flex to talk about the situation 20 years later? You know, is it okay? Do you respect it? Do you not respect it? Let us know. I think it's interesting because I definitely know that the Pac movie is coming out really soon. So I really want to see how they project this on film, you know, because obviously they want him to be seen in a certain light.
Well, all that stuff was shot, no pun intended, but all that stuff was shot before Flex came out. So... Mm-hmm.
But the truth is the truth.
The truth is the truth. So at the end of the day, you know, they're going to go with what everybody knew and how everything's always been told in the streets and through the media. But now, you know, we just got hit with this. So when that scene comes upon us in the movie, during a feature film, we're going to look at, you know, a little suspect.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing the movie. It looks like it's going to be a good one. I saw the previews and I was like, ow. And the actor that's playing Tupac, he has a strong resemblance to him. So it should be a good thing. I love to see the movie on film. Whether you don't fuck with Pac for, you know, the role he played in Biggie's death or whatever, or you just don't fuck with Pac, you know. From what people say about Pac is that he was all over the place.
He was. But they say like a lot of artists. Because I don't really look at Pac as a rapper. You know, I look at him as an artist. Like so many art forms, he would have been well with it if he just focused in on it. He's like, he was an amazing talent. But I will say this. If it wasn't for this whole beef, right? Reasonable Doubt came out. And Jay-Z's been around. I've been a Jay-Z's fan since... Original Flavor.
You a Jay-Z fan?
A fan of Jay-Z. I'm not, you know, he ain't my favorite rapper, but I'm a fan of him.
Okay.
And I respect him, most importantly. But Biggie did say on one line from an artist that mostly nobody heard of outside this region, on Reason That, he said, if Faith had twins, she'd probably have a two pop.
Get it?
So, like, we heard this was going to be on this dude Jay-Z's first album. He had a song featuring Biggie Smalls. And Biggie really never made shots at Tupac before then. Would Jay-Z have as much notoriety coming out the gate if it really wasn't for that record?
Are you asking me that question? Or you just putting out
there? I'm putting out there. But, I mean, you can answer it. Feel free. I know how much you love Jay-Z.
But it has nothing to do with love. Just like you asked me whether Biggie would have been popular or popping if this controversy with Pop didn't occur. I don't think you can block your blessings or you can block what's destined for you. Before we even do anything, it's written out. So your life is already written out. So can't no one... I'm not trying to be golly, but... You know, no one can block what's meant for you.
Oh, true.
So, like, for people to say, well, would Biggie be what he was, or would he have transcended?
Well, I'm just saying, as much notoriety out the gate. I mean, Jay-Z's dope. Like, there's no getting around it, and he's brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. But just out the gate, like...
There's a lot of people
Biggie out the gate. Crazy hot at that moment, and he jumped on this dude's record and take a shot at Pac, like... In the middle of beef, like, yo, Biggie ain't been saying nothing about Pac. He jumped on this dude. And
it doesn't matter. You still have to be able to back it up. There's a lot of people that are with a hot label, have all the artists, hot artists, can jump on their shit, and they still put out duds. You know, you still have to back it up. Because he could have got on a track with Biggie, the illest at the time, the biggest at the time, and Biggie could have straight shitted on him.
Oh, yeah.
So, you still gotta hold your own and still compose your shit.
Right, right.
So, you know, I just don't...
Well, we were looking for... My point is just that we were really looking for Jay-Z at that time because we heard he was taking a shot at Pop. You know what I mean? And then, they, you know, Flex was spinning the record, too. You know, that wasn't a single. He was spinning the record. And we were like, oh, my God. Biggie actually responded. Oh, my God. You know? It was big at the time.
It was big, but, you know, I just can't I just can't get with that notion that, you know, someone can make another person. Like, you still got to hold your own and do what you do. And if you don't, because this, think about, and let's move on from Biggie, Pac, and Jay-Z. There's so many hot artists out here, MCs, that lyrically are really nice. But for whatever reason, they can't make hot songs.
Oh, yeah.
Or they can't, you know.
What's the art form?
Yeah, they just don't know how to put it all together.
Yeah.
And there's so many people that you can support right now that's making, that's popular, but they haven't had all the notoriety that other people have because they just haven't put everything together. So, you know, it's everything.
It's everything.
It's everything.
So. I mean, kudos to Jay-Z. He's been working on the craft since the mid-80s, you know. So, when he had his time, he really shined, you know.
Listen, you only get one shot at it. So, when you get your shot, you better shoot your shot or you'll be bagging up groceries. Yeah. With that being said, this is convo number 27, convo number 27. If you missed any of our previous convos, make sure you go to iTunes, make sure you go to SoundCloud, leave us a 5-star review. Also, we're still looking to mash up with other podcasts. If you want to be featured on the show, you want to be featured as a song of the week, let us know. Send your songs, tracks to MidnightConvos247@gmail.com. You want to be a guest on the show, holler at your girl, MidnightConvos247@gmail.com. We're going to get into a new feature that we're trying to do weekly, and it is the Song of the Week.
Yeah, Song of the Week is My Brother, Who Dat P's, right? And you can reach Who Dat P's on his social media at Who Dat P's. On YouTube, Twitter is P's, P-E-E-E-Z, 12680. Instagram is Who Dat P's, P-E-E-Z. Facebook is at Tyquan Young, T-Y-Q-U-A-N Young. And we also have a SoundCloud here at Who Dat P's. The name of this record is called Rewind. It's fine.
Wish I could go back in time and hear rewind.
Street slinging that cold wind. Oh. KRS-One, Planet Rock to rock him. Yeah. The B-boys is willing, spilling their tops in. Pop locking and dropping that real shit to comprehend. Yeah. And we ain't call them bitches, we call them fly honeys. Got my respect with clothes on. The y'all dummies, true. The cookout for the shit. Ain't have to have money, hit the freezer to hit the block. The shit was mad lovely. Yeah. You got the drinks, I got the links. Let's mash, homie. Turn into a block party. DJ Ryan blast for me. Oh. Fly gazelles, leather bombers to sheep coats. Fat lace, Adidas, the creases and jeans cut throat. Fresh. Yeah, there was haters, but they were so ghost. You could put a glass in the air and all real. So damn, life was good. How do we even boast when we mess it up the most? Damn. We call chick shorties with the bubble back asses. He still got my respect and all of y'all ratchets. Niggas spitting more venom than dark frogs. Flipping like parkour, hitting that top floor till they get locked jaw. It's what it meant to be a true MC and represent. Yeah. Baggy jeans, big coats, and high tims. Yeah. House parties will rock until the night ends. Yeah. Hope you people come on and shit get hyped then. The hustlers respecting their projects then. Turning kids back to the books instead of hustling. Word. The street slingers, whatever that we hang with. That's why the street language is like what we banging. But now it's just these hanging around and just these.
Damn, life was so good. How do we boast when we fuck it up the most?
Wish I could go back in time and hit rewind.
Them days you had to be dope as heroin.
True.
These days they're just letting anybody in.
Yep.
Put them in tight jeans the way they look like skin. Spinning gates when that's something gets Wendy caught in. Queen Latifah try to clue you chicks in.
Yep.
Instead of unity, they hit your ass for Facebook likings.
Yeah.
A chick who rather twerk than to focus on a real woman's worth.
So bizarre.
You're letting dumbass niggas tell you which way to go.
Yep.
The blind leading the sight when the sight can see the boat. But no, they would rather you go in circles. Take away what would emerge you. Guns become commercial. Anything that'll hurt you.
Yeah.
And freedom is your virtue.
Yeah.
And program ain't the murk.
Yeah.
Politics as usual.
Yeah.
Poverty ain't beautiful.
Yeah.
We crammed them like a cuticle.
Just
follow the game of musical.
Alright, that was Who Dat P's Rewind. Make sure you check it out on SoundCloud. Follow him up on all his social media. Hot song, hot song. And we're looking to do this weekly. So if you have a song of the week, make sure you send that to midnightcombos247@gmail.com. Hey, bae.
What's up, lady?
One of the things that I like doing and we don't get to do as much because it can get a little pricey is eating out.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yes, I remember the good old days. Good old days.
Yes.
Can't
so,
it be so simple?
Yeah, it's not that simple right now because when you go out with the kids, it starts adding up. But besides just the cost of eating out, you got to think about the sanitation of the people that's preparing your food.
Word.
I saw a video last week that made me really think about eating out, especially fast foods. And to be honest, I really don't eat from fast food too much. I might have a Wendy's every once in a while, but for the most part, I don't eat fast food. That shit is just not good for you. But when you're in a rush, in a run, it's quick and easy and cheap. So I saw a video of a girl, young girl, had to be, I would say, maybe early 20s, if that. She was on a lunch break. She goes outside, maybe her boyfriend, maybe a jump off, maybe whoever. And she's giving him neck. She's giving him head. She's giving him whatever you want to call it.
Fellatio.
On her break. So this bitch.
Kudos to him.
Yeah, it was a good night for him. But the chick didn't even have the audacity to like take her shirt off, take her hat off. You know, she had a little Dunkin' Donuts hat on while she's bobbing and weaving on this motherfucker's dick. And I'm not knocking what you do. You know, that's your business. You're a grown woman, grown man, do what you do. But obviously, you want people to see what the fuck you're doing if you're recording it and it's going viral, right? So she's in her uniform. She has the hat, she has a shirt on, and it's she. You know she's an employee from Dunkin' Donuts. Right, and you particularly, you go to Dunkin' Donuts a lot.
Put me on blast.
Yeah. So just think about it. When you getting your little donuts, when you getting your little coffee.
I should be looking for hair too? No, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Get out of here, boy. The chick that could be serving you, you know, how clean is she? How clean is she? That makes me worried, yo. These bitches is nasty. They go give head on their lunch break. And you know you don't get that long. You get a little 15-minute lunch break. Come back and you touching donuts and food and shit.
In the words of a famous comedian, who's raising these bitches? I'm all for, now, calling my wife and trying to get her to come home on break. On her lunch break. Unfortunately, lives too far. She works too far away. but I'm down for the quickie during the lunch hour, half hour, 15-minute break, 2 minute, minute and a half, get it in, let's do it. Listen. But on the other end, if it's fast food or any food period, I don't want to see no pubes in my food. I don't want to see anything mixed with the mayonnaise. I don't want to see Ray Ray special sauce on my burger. Like, I'm good with that. But who are we to judge what you do with your free time? Would you have been okay, babe, if they didn't have a Dunkin' Donut hat on?
like I said, you're a grown woman. Whatever you decide to do is what you decide to do. But when you purposely have your fucking uniform on, and if you, like, it boggles my mind that you would even keep your shit on while you're doing that. It boggles my mind that you will want to have people see you in that position.
You get caught up in the moment. You have been caught up. We've been caught up in the moment before. You just get caught up in the moment.
That you have your uniform on your lunch break.
You caught up in the moment, man. Everybody can't be a black Republican like you. Stop being that conservative shit. You're young. You're energetic. You get caught up in the moment. You know what I mean? And you just going for it. Is that too far fetched?
Yeah, I think that's a bit much. One, because you need your job. She's a little hood rat chick. She got to keep a little job at Dunkin' Donuts, and you are seen just like them chicks that be. Because it's been a couple of videos, like people. There was a video I saw a couple months ago, and it was a guy that was trying to order food from Pizza Hut. I think this was in Canada, and the manager, the employee, whatever, it was only two people. They were in there fucking. And he was trying to get service, banging on the counter. He ends up going in the back and he sees them. You know, the door was locked. It was just crazy. If you're on company's time, do what you gotta do. Like, I think it's just dirty. It's nasty to be fucking on.
Now. You older and sensible. Whatever you...
Yeah. When you got hairs in your fucking nuggets, it's a problem. If it's you got a mayo container and you don't know what it is, it's a problem. You know? So you're telling me you could go get a quickie in the back of your car and you could come back to work and you clean. You good. You want that person flipping your burgers.
You gonna wash their hands?
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. So they always has that sign. Just make sure employees wash their hands before. They ain't say nothing about the shirt. Or if they got nut on the brim of their hat. You know what I mean? Like,
so that's okay. She got nutted on a shirt. Yeah. And she could be fixing your food.
Yo, what's that in your hair right there? Oh, that's gel.
You nasty.
That's gel. I'm sorry. Just came on my lunch break. I was fixing my hair.
I'm just not with it, man. Go home.
Yo, young people are reckless. And it's mostly young people who have those type of jobs, babe. They're reckless. You were never reckless? Before you met Don Juan, you was never reckless, girl?
Who the fuck is Don Juan? I know that you ain't talking about you, Don Juan.
No, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. My point is, you were never reckless when you're young. I ain't saying you smashing your head in the car during your lunch break, but, you know, just doing stuff and just not thinking it through, you know?
Absolutely, we all are,
so,
but...
you know, it's that one in 500,000... I got caught out there with a Dunkin' Donuts hat on and a shirt giving old boy neck in the car. Like, it shit happens. Now, am I cool with them not cleaning themselves up, touching my fucking food? Of course not. Do I understand how young people move? Yeah, being a reckless nigga, that's why you like me. Because I was that at one time. So, come on. Keep it 100. You can, what they're doing is not far-fetched. People gonna be people. There ain't shit you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray that motherfuckers didn't put shit in your food all the time. Matter of fact, what you can do about it is make your own fucking coffee at home and put it in your
little flat. Telling you for the long season.
I hear what you're saying. But now you got me thinking about going to spend my little $2.20 at Dunkin' Donuts now to get my motherfucking medium light and sweet. You know what I mean? Because of this dumb shit you've been telling me now. But that's the only way you make your own peanut butter and jelly sandwich instead of getting a sandwich outside at the store or any fast food place during your lunch break. Like, that's the only way you can be 100% safe. If not, I think in the back of our minds, we all know that we can get a fucked up order. And especially when we piss somebody off and be changing our orders like 3 times on a person doing in the drive-thru, you know what's coming automatically. You know what I mean? So, you always out here taking a risk.
Just switching corners a little bit, I wanted to talk about the University of Texas and the stabbing that occurred maybe a week and a half ago. And there was a young man that lost his life that day. It was a couple of people that were injured and one person that lost their life. And more importantly, I wanted to focus on the mental health piece, because the person that stabbed this person and took this young man's life, they said he had a history of mental health. And that person is an African-American male. And what I've noticed, and being a person that works kind of in that field, I know that a lot of Black people, a lot of African-Americans, a lot of minorities don't believe in mental health. They don't believe in going to see someone when things get a little tough. For whatever reason, they don't want to go to no counselor. They just going to pray on it. They just going to pray it away. You know, got to find a way, instead of actually speaking to someone that has the professional skills to kind of make you see things in a different perspective, or put things in perspective for you, help you put things in perspective. And, you know, it's unfortunate what happened on that campus. But my question that I wanted to ask is, could this have been prevented? You know, if we as a community put more value, more stock in people going to get help when it's needed, would it eliminate or decrease these type of situations?
Absolutely. 100%. I think about this all the time. Most African Americans come from humble beginnings. All right. Inner city, trying to do better for ourselves. All right. Most of us aren't coming up in the upper middle class, in the suburbs somewhere. I'm sorry, I was born in the 70s. I'm going to keep it all the way 100. Most of my family members from the south to up north, they didn't live in the white neighborhoods. They didn't have the best education. All right. Some of them were middle class, but they weren't upper middle class. They were just middle class for their community, and they had certain people around them. All this being said is that you're around Boo Boo, Tyrone, such and such, and you're going to see some things that I think a certain part of society never sees. You might see drug dealings. You might see dead bodies. And let me ask you this. If a young white male or somebody from the upper middle class sees something like that in their formative years, will their parents give them counseling immediately?
Absolutely. I don't even think that's a question.
That's not even a question. So how come there's so many of us that come from humble beginnings, the inner city, and we're around violence, and we're supposed to make it through life without getting any counseling? The day we do snap, the day something goes wrong with us, how come our state, federal, and municipal governments don't recognize that this person might have had some childhood issues that were never addressed? Why isn't there funding in all our inner cities to take immediate reaction so there can be some type of recourse when our small children of our future, can get help immediately so they can be put on the right path moving forward after seeing these tragedies?
But it's not even just about the funding, because whether you believe it or not, there's a lot of affordable counseling. There's a lot of places that will charge you on a sliding scale in your community. You just got to go through the doors and follow the procedure to get to it. So you can have a counseling center that's right down the street from where you live, and most people will just pass it by. So I think it's bigger than it's a bigger issue than just saying whether or not we have the funding, because I know people that go to counseling off of Medicaid. I know people that's been counseling based on a sliding scale payment system. So it's not about whether or not they can afford it. It's whether or not you believe in it.
Well, is it, so there's money involved one way or another. It's just something, okay, we know such and such was with, could possibly be a witness of this crime. How come we don't have these children get some type of counseling on the city's dime?
Yeah, but your point is not valid, because if you're talking about funding and Medicaid, most people in these neighborhoods, you just spoke of inner city kids. Inner city kids, 8 times out of 10, are going to be on Medicaid. Medicaid pays for counseling. Now, it may not be the best counseling. It may not be in the suburbs, but there are multiple counseling facilities that you can go to within your county if you have Medicaid. If you have Medicaid, you have the opportunity. Hold on for a second. So, it's not about funding. It's about whether or not you believe in it and you're taking an initiative to get the help that you need. If you don't have the funds to do so, that's totally different. But if you have Medicaid, Medicaid pays for counseling. So I don't hear your point. I don't understand what you're trying to say. Because if you're in these communities in which you speak of, you have Medicaid. Medicaid will pay for counseling. I've referred so many people that were on Medicaid to counseling. So that point that you're making, well, I don't comprehend.
Family, like you said earlier, you said that, you know, people rather go to church and pray to baby Jesus for resolve, mm-hmm. right? So the city or state has to have some type of campaign to, and some type of awareness to say, listen, it's okay to have counseling. This is free. You know, we'll assist in making sure that such and such will get counseling, your children, or if you need counseling. Right now, I feel as though, from what I've seen, that there's no ads for counseling. You guys keep on doing what you guys are doing in your neighborhood, and you're just going to get locked up, or this is your future. There's no resolve from the city or the state. They know what's going on here.
But you're talking about two separate things, right? You're talking about whether they're promoting...
But I'm saying that's the only way you can reach. My thing is, if people aren't educated or have the initiative to do it, right, and they know there's things going on within their neighborhood, and they're going to pray to baby Jesus and try and seek counseling from their minister, then the city or the state has to be more proactive if we all know there's some type of problem.
So that's on a state level an issue, because people are not...
City or state, but the numbers are the numbers. They know what's going on in our communities. They know. There's reports. There's a paper trail. So how come the city or the state aren't being more proactive for minorities and what's going on in their communities, instead of having a recurring cycle of children going out, coming out here into society, whether they're successful or not, but they're stigmatized. Well, they have these issues, these deep-seated issues, as they go on their life journey.
I see your point to a certain degree, but you could put things in front of people and they still will walk past it. You know, that's just like people coming into the community and they're doing screenings for HIV, or people doing stuff for the eyes, or just health checks, and people walk right past it.
It's gotten better through the years, though.
Let me finish my point.
It's gotten better.
But let me finish my point.
I hear you.
So, you know, there's a lot of initiatives that people have that people don't take advantage of. So it's not for the state to say, hey, go to your counseling center. No. You could start all these initiatives. If people don't see the validity in it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If they don't see its worth, then it does not matter what initiatives people put in. People start, let's think about it on a broader perspective. There are people that come into your neighborhood and they show you how to vote. Talk to you about voting. They even have vans in which you can get on the van. They'll take you to your voting place. Mm-hmm. And people don't take advantage of it. So...
Some people do. That's not, you can't talk in absolute.
You can't absolute. Nothing is an absolute. But I hear,
listen, to your point, you're saying that, and this is the crazy thing. when the city or state or federal see there's a problem that affects them, especially with the HIV epidemic, right? What happened in the 80s and 90s? AIDS was crazy in this country. Has it slowed down considerably since then? Absolutely. You know why? Because that shit was getting into too many neighborhoods besides ours, right? So what happens? We have more campaigns, more ads in minority neighborhoods about being more aware, awareness. The same thing, what you just said with the voting. They need more votes. So what do? They hit the inner city neighborhoods harder than they've ever hit before.
But
true, people aren't capitalizing on it. But if you want to talk about percentages, any small percentage is better than where it was before. So I guess there was some type of effort. Listen, until it really affects somebody else, it's not going to happen in our inner cities.
But just to play devil's advocate on your point, what about the Black community? What about the NAACPs that come into the community? Well, not even come into the community. That's in the community that's pushing for Black people to be aware, to be knowledgeable, to be up to date on what's going on, and people don't take advantage of it. Those are not the people that's coming in there just because they need to get voted, but just people that want people to be awoke, to want to be, you know, aware of what's going on. And you still have people that don't take advantage of it. So it's a bigger issue. I think people make it, it's an easy way out when you say, oh, when it's other people, it has to be the state, it has to be the federal, oh, they come into our community because it affects them. Fuck them. Worry about what's going on in your neighborhood, your brother, your sister, your family. Stop waiting for other people to make the change.
I get it. You're right.
So my thing is, we're always looking for other people to give us the green light to jump on something. No, you need to jump on it because you need it. If it's there, take advantage of it. If you do it, you try it, and it doesn't work for you, okay, then you can say, hey, I tried this. This avenue didn't work for me. It wasn't right for me. But it's not for other people to bring you to the light. It's for you to utilize the resources in your community. And that's it. You know, I don't understand.
I hear what you say all the time. The NAACP money is nothing compared to government money. It's like a toilet roll of a paper that never runs the fuck out.
But you're missing the point.
But no, you're missing the point. It's different. Every time the state or federal government gets involved, if you want to look at percentages, I always feel, from things that I've seen and experienced firsthand, that they get better result with the percentages than private institutions trying to go into communities making a change.
Okay. So, like I said, how I feel about it is that you don't have to wait for nobody to come into your community to try to change it. And that's the problem our community that you guys are waiting for the white Jesus to say, hey, walk with me and come to the light. No, you don't need anybody on whatever level. You need you and you and yourself, your family, your team to make things right for the community that you live in. Don't wait for nobody else. So I just disagree. We'll have to agree to disagree on this. But the bigger issue is that we do need to start utilizing our resources. We do need to start, you know, if tomorrow you go out and you're playing basketball and you fall and you twist your ankle, right? And you go to the doctor and they say, oh, it's not a twist. You tore your ACL. You're going to go to the doctor, right? Because mm-hmm. you're in pain.
Right.
You're going to follow the doctor's care because you're in pain. You want it to get better. But when it comes to mental issues, mental health, and you're having issues with your sanity, or you just can't manage your feelings or emotions, or you're not thinking rationally, people find it so hard to go say that I need help putting my shit in order. And it behooves me because, you know, they're trained professional people that this is what they do for a living, to help things make sense for you.
We're Black people and we strong. We don't need no help. We do this by ourselves. We'll get through it. Big Mama did. Pop did. They made it.
And that's why, you know, back in the day when it used to be shootings in clubs or schools, we could say, oh, that's a white person. Nowadays, you don't know who it's going to be. Nope. Right? And before, you damn sure. We didn't do that type of shit. We didn't shoot up no schools or, you know, go stab random people. No, that's not our MO now. We'll do some other shit. But our MOs was never shooting or attacking people just randomly. Now, it's becoming more and more of a reoccurrence. So, listen, if you're not right, you need to get right. Make sure you get right. That's all I can say. All right, this is Convo number 27. Convo number 27. If you missed any of our previous convos, make sure you go to SoundCloud. Make sure you got an iTunes and you leave a 5-star review. The night is pretty much over. We're done for the night. Hopefully, King Chuck will be with us for convo number 28. He is MIA. I'm getting frustrated. I'm about to fire his ass.
Oh,
I really am.
Stop.
He's my brother.
Brother!
He's like 2 seconds from getting fired. Like I said, if you guys want to mash up or you want to be featured on the show, you have a song that you want it to be featured as the song of the week, make sure you submit that to us at midnightconvos247@gmail.com. Bae, you got any parting words?
Yeah. Yo, these are some really good topics tonight. Thank you for having me. And on a sidebar, happy Mother's Day to my beautiful wife. Does a great job raising my children. And you're speaking to two people who have started from the bottom, and now we're here. I love that line. But once again, thank you for having me on the show, babe. And hopefully King Chuck can be here next week.
Hopefully, or if he's not, you know he got fired. All right, y'all. Have a good night.
Peace.